After spending the last several Sundays in the Epistle of Romans, we return back now to the assigned lectionary gospel passage for this week, and it's back to the book of Matthew, and we'll be reading from the 18th chapter. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the eyewitness of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, I tell you, but 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. By the way, a talent was equal to about 15 years of wages, and he owed 10,000 of those. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Denarii was just one day's wage. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So will God do to you, every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart. God bless the reading, the hearing of this word. Amen. Of all the things that we as Christians are called to be and do as followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus, perhaps the one we most commonly struggle with is forgiveness. And added to that is a variety of understandings of what exactly forgiveness is and entails. So we will explore that this morning. Many of you are familiar with the name Rabbi Harold Kushner. Perhaps is best known as the author of the classic best-selling 1978 book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And in 1999, Kushner wrote an article for Spirituality and Health magazine, a wonderful magazine. And it was entitled, Letting Go of the Role of Victim. And the story he tells is quite illuminating as it pertains to the issue of the importance of forgiveness. And he writes, a woman in my congregation comes to see me. She is a single mother, divorced, working to support herself and three young children. She says to me, since my husband walked out on us, every month is a struggle to pay our bills. I have to tell my kids that we have no money to go to movies while he is living it up with his new wife in another state. How can you tell me to forgive him? I answer her. I am not asking you to forgive him because what he did was acceptable. It wasn't. It was mean and selfish. I'm asking you to forgive because he does not deserve the power to live in your head and turn you into an angry, bitter person. And I'd like to see him out of your life emotionally, as completely as he is out of it physically. But you keep holding on to him. You're not hurting him by holding on to that resentment, but you are hurting yourself. And both the medical and the scientific communities are also now delving into the importance of forgiveness in connection with our health and our well-being. And it's now widely known that unforgiveness, or holding on to past hurts and resentments, deeply affects our emotional and sometimes even our physical health. And earlier this very morning, during our prayer of confession, it included a request to God. Here now are personal prayers of reflection and confession, including those we need to forgive. So did you come up with any names? Some of you may have thought of someone who's near and dear to you. Or maybe it was someone at work or school or in an organization of which you are a member. Or someone in your neighborhood. Someone from your distant past or from just yesterday. Maybe this morning. Someone who has passed away. Or perhaps one of the persons on your list that needs forgiveness is yourself. And just maybe, it may be someone right here in this congregation. Well, interestingly, it is this last category. People within our own community of faith, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that Jesus is specifically referring to in today's gospel reading from Matthew 18. For it is a fact that no community of faith can be a loving community, which we looked at last week, without also being a forgiving community. Now, before we get too far into this topic, let us acknowledge that forgiveness is a difficult issue, primarily because it demands so much of us. And the concept of forgiveness itself may also be misunderstood, so we'll look at that in a moment. But let's begin by acknowledging that forgiveness is something that is hard for most of us to both give and receive. And we are all aware of the myriad of reasons, perhaps excuses, why we resist forgiving others. In fact, we're often tempted to return the hurt by inverting the golden rule in a way that justifies retaliation, to do unto others as they have done unto you. Perhaps, and we can learn something that will help us in this regard from today's gospel reading. Now, the later portion of today's text, which deals with this call to limitless forgiveness, is preceded by an issue regarding the handling of conflicts that arise between individuals within a community of faith. And now, I know it may be quite a shock for some of you to learn that conflicts can arise in congregations. But this is part of the text that reveals that conflicts do happen within the church and that they can negatively affect the building up of the community of faith. And when that occurs, we are called upon to seek reconciliation. Yet forgiveness by itself does not automatically lead to reconciliation, to the healing of relationships. In fact, reconciliation is possible only when it is part of a larger process that includes naming the sin, repentance of the sinner, and then communal support, especially of the one who was wronged. So we need to understand that the reconciliation that Jesus calls for is inseparable from truth-telling and accountability. So it is in this context, following Jesus' instructions concerning repairing broken relationships, that Peter speaking for the rest of the disciples, steps forward to ask for clarification. He asks Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the community of faith sins against me, how often should I extend forgiveness?" But Peter really wants to know if there is a statute of limitations on sin. But rather than wait for Jesus to respond, Peter proposes his own answer, as many as 7 times. And now actually Peter thought he was being very generous, for there was an ancient Jewish rabbinical standard for forgiveness that was only 3 times that you had to forgive. So Peter was probably looking for an attaboy from Jesus, but he didn't get one. Instead, Jesus replied with an astoundingly large number. Now, the Greek of the biblical text at this point is ambiguous, and it can mean either 77 times or 70 times 7, which is 490. But the exact number we must know is not the issue. Either way, the number is enormous and is intentionally exaggerated. So the point is that we are instructed not to keep track at all. Jesus is not giving a math lesson. He is giving a grace lesson. For to keep track of the number of times we forgive another person is to not really forgive them in the first place, but rather to record progress toward the day when it's okay not to forgive that person anymore. The motive for record keeping, you see, is not reconciliation, but a future time when we can retaliate and get out our vengeance. So when it comes to forgiveness, Jesus wants us to throw away the calculator. But that often goes against the grain, doesn't it? Now, we may be willing to forgive someone a few times, but we can't be expected to forgive over and over and over and over and over again, can we? Well, to make his point, Jesus follows his statement to Peter of limitless forgiveness with a parable of a servant who was forgiven of an impossibly huge financial debt by the king, but who in turn immediately demands full payment of a small debt owed by a fellow servant. And the point is that persons who are unwilling to forgive have no understanding or perception in their heart and mind of the generosity, mercy, and grace that has been and continues to be extended to them by God. And so it is with us when we are unwilling to forgive. We learn then that it is in recognizing God's limitless and gracious forgiveness of ourselves that we in turn are enabled as a community of faith to engage in the ongoing practice and activity of forgiving one another. But perhaps it's wise at this point to step back a bit and take a good look at what forgiveness is and is not. The Greek word that we translate as forgive literally means to release, to let go, to send away. Yet forgiveness is not denying our hurt. When we minimize what has happened to us or gloss over it or tell others that it really wasn't that bad, we cannot really forgive. Forgiveness is a possibility only when we acknowledge the negative impact of another person's actions or attitudes in our lives. And forgiveness is also not a matter of putting other people on probation, just waiting for them to do something else wrong so that we can take it back. Forgiveness is not an excuse for unjust behavior. And to forgive does not mean to forget. Some events and situations we should not forget. But as in the opening story told by Rabbi Kushner, forgiveness allows us to not let the offender live in our head. and to turn us into bitter, angry, or resentful people. Forgiveness then frees us from expending any more of our precious emotional and spiritual energy. And it frees us from the toll that it takes on us when we are unforgiving. So our attitude and practice of forgiveness is ultimately not for the other person's sake, but for our own personal well-being, our healing and wholeness, and for the well-being of a family or a community of faith. And it is in the process of forgiveness that we can release, let go, send away much of our own anger and hurt and resentment and bitterness, maybe even vengeance and thoughts of retaliation. And yes, I will agree that when we are wronged, there is a tension between seeking justice and offering forgiveness. But this isn't an either or proposition, but rather a both and. So let us remember that forgiveness is not being indifferent to wrong, or letting the other person off the hook, or saying that what they did no longer matters, or that the offender isn't responsible for the consequences of their own actions and the pain that they may have caused. So as we continue to reflect upon what it means to offer and receive forgiveness, I'd like to leave you with this thought. If you and I fail to forgive, it does have an effect on the other person, but not nearly as much as the effect it has on ourselves. And if we really want inner spiritual health and an increasing ability to love, then you and I must learn to forgive, even 77 or 70 times 7 times. Or as Presbyterian preacher Thomas Long puts it, we know too well that the little boat that we are sailing upon is floating on a deep sea of grace, and that forgiveness is not to be dispensed with an eyedropper, but a fire hose. I like that image. Let us be known as a forgiving community. And who is the indwelling Spirit of God calling on you to forgive? Amen.